Good morning. My name is Kathleen Morgan, and I have had the pleasure of being on staff this summer as the, I think my title we landed on was Children's Ministry Summer Assistant. I have been able to get ready for the fall and work with the incredible Children's Ministry leadership team and the volunteers in planning that. So I just, first of all, because they've given me a mic, I would like to say thank you to them, first of all. They have done an amazing job this past year. It is a hard enough role when you have a point person on staff doing the job, and there is so many that have stepped up and volunteered their time and their energy to make sure that children's ministry has happened, and the way that they love our kids is amazing. So as we go into the fall, I would ask that you offer them grace and patience as they are leading, and offer to help where you can, which, because again, they've given me a mic. We are looking for tech people who would be willing to come into the youth center and lead our worship portion, or help lead our worship portion. We're also really looking for registration people who are able to sign the kids in at the start of Sunday school. Both of these roles take about 20 minutes from the service, and then you're able to go into the service if you like, or you are more than welcome to stay and help. We would also love that too. And additionally, we are looking for people who would be willing to help and lead some of our breakout groups for our kindergarten to grade 5 students. So if any of the above is interesting to you or something you would like to know more about, I would encourage you to email children's at westwoodchurch.bc.ca, and one of the children's ministry leadership people will reach out to you. It's not only just a cool ministry, but the things that the kids in our church family are doing are amazing. And this opportunity to lead them in their relationship with Jesus is so cool and so special. So if that's something that you would like to consider, please reach out and ask about it. Okay, that's the end of my sales pitch. I'm done. So before we get into scripture today, I would just like to pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for this day, for this time that we get to be together, and for the gift of your word. Thank you that we're able to study it, and please, just as we go through it, I would ask that you help us to take it with us throughout our week and just really hold it in our lives. In your name, amen. So this summer, we have been going through the series Walking Together, A Journey of Discipleship. Over the past 14 weeks, we have studied the Psalms of Ascent, a group of psalms originally songs sung, try saying that a few times fast, by traveling Jews on their way to Jerusalem for one of the major Jewish festivals. And so today we are actually concluding our series with Psalm 134. It's tied with Psalm 131 and 133 for being the shortest of all of the Psalms of Ascent at only 3 verses long. However, number one, I'm maybe like a little bit short, so short things are good. And number two, as one of my favorite English professors would say, the shortest poems often have the most to discover, and I think that is very true of this psalm. So please join me in Psalm 134, and we're going to read through it together. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. So to give some context for these verses, this psalm acted as a call and response between the Levites and the departing Jewish people. The journey is over, the people have worshiped, they've celebrated, they've gathered, but it's time for them to go home. However, not everyone leaves. This psalm recognizes the ones who stay behind in the temple, still serving, still watching, still worshiping, which is the Levites. The Levites, who were descendants of Levi, son of Jacob, had been set apart for specific religious duties. They stayed in the temple in Jerusalem, protecting and ministering in the house of the Lord. So verse 1 and 2 were said by the Jews, thanking the Levites for their continued service. And verse 3 was the Levites' response back, acting as a benediction as the Jews headed out on their travels. The Levites kept watch in the temple 24/7. They would spend nights awake, ensuring all was well. In essence, this psalm shows the encouragement from the Jews to the Levites to stay faithful and strong, even in the darkness of night. The Levites held this essential role, full of sacrifice and duty, much of which would go unnoticed in the quiet hours of the night. And this isn't not exactly a foreign concept to us. The idea of faithful in the dark has many implications for us. For some of you, that literally looks like working through the night. Many of us are sound asleep. You're awake caring for people as nurses, doctors, or other medical professionals working night shifts. Some are plowing roads. Some are up early, heading out for shifts long before the sun is up. Maybe you're awake feeding babies or caring for your suddenly awake toddlers. In the quietness of the night, you are doing essential work. This can also look like being faithful in your role when no one is watching or noticing. Even if our jobs or roles are not night shifts, they can come to feel like that in some seasons. It may appear like everything you do is repetitive, thankless, or unnoticed. The loneliness that can set in during these times can be beyond immense. And your job might leave you feeling unappreciated and unsure of why you're even doing it. Work like parenting small children day in and day out, caring for aging parents and the challenges that come with it, fighting public criticism and lack of support or funding within your field, all can make you feel like that work is hard and lonely. And taking the work piece out of it, maybe you're walking through a season that just feels so dark. Things are hard or unbearable. The trials you're walking through feel isolating and like every day is dark. These seasons of suffering and struggle make us feel like we're walking through a never-ending night. But in this passage, the encouragement from the Jews to the Levites is that there is worship and praise to be had in these places. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord." It's not an accident that the Lord's name is said 3 times in one verse. In this, even in the dark, he is present. He is worthy of praise because he shows up in our darkness. The Jews are not claiming that the role of the Levites is easy. It's not a guarantee that our lives will be easy or things will go smoothly. Instead, they're saying, even in the night, the Lord is deserving of our praise. And this makes me think of James 1, where it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I'm not going to lie, I have a real push-pull with this verse because I would not consider the middle of a trial as a time of pure joy. If anything, joy can feel like this distant, far-off concept. And let me tell you, at my worst, I am not good at praising and thanking the Lord for things in my life. It may seem like these are two disjointed ideas, walking through darkness and praising the Lord. But in actuality, the Lord deserves all of our praise, even in the darkness. And this is why. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God does not abandon us in our hardship. He sees all of the quiet, unseen work and roles in our lives. He's with us, present in every moment, holding us up when we simply cannot hold ourselves up anymore. He doesn't leave us or abandon us. even at our worst. He is not simply letting us sit in our pain and stay stuck in it, but he's working, he's moving in ways we likely cannot recognize. He is steadfast and loves us through it all. Considering all of these different types of faithfulness in the dark we have discussed, it's easy to go, okay, sure, God sees me, but this is all so hard right now. This pain is all-consuming. This struggle is unending, and this loneliness is overwhelming. Valid, so fair, and I so get it. The call of verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord, is not easy to do in so many seasons of life. But the reason it's important is because God sees you. He sees every ounce of your pain, struggle, loneliness, and feelings of unappreciation. While the world tends to celebrate the visible things, the success stories, the spotlight moments, he celebrates the faithfulness in quiet places. We think if no one sees it, it doesn't matter. If no one knows my pain, I'm alone in it. But God says, I see it, it matters, I'm with you. Throughout Scripture, we see so many examples of people who were faithful in the darkness. Joseph, while he was forgotten in prison. Ruth, as she was gleaning in the field with no guarantee of a future. Daniel, praying behind closed doors. And Jesus, praying alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, bleeding and all alone. All of them were faithful, and in those moments, none of them were in the spotlight. But God was still glorified by the work they did in the dark. So as we look at verse 2, we can remember even in the quiet, even in the hard, even in the dark, we are called to praise the Lord and glorify him. A piece of wisdom that I gleaned from some of my mentors in my life is whatever verses or passages of Scripture you cling to in hard seasons, hang them in your home as a reminder of God's faithfulness. When you walk around their home, there's verses on the wall in different forms, and as you ask them about each one, they'll explain how they held tightly to these verses or these passages in particular seasons. And as I've moved into my own home, I've started this practice. One of the verses I have up in my house is Isaiah 46:4. It says, I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. The context surrounding Isaiah 46 is that the Israelites have been taken into exile in Babylon. God's people were surrounded by idol worship, feeling powerless and perhaps wondering if their God had been defeated. This passage goes on to highlight God's sovereignty over all of history and his hands in all situations. But it begins with the verses reminding Israel that he has not left them, for he has his hands over them always. So starting in verse 1, it says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you who I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even in your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Several years ago, I hit a depth of depression that I had never felt before. I had so many things that kind of compounded all at once, and that ended up causing this effect of me being just frozen. I felt like I was dragging myself through darkness, like the night was all-consuming and that it was never ending. This verse of Isaiah 46:4 lived in a frame beside my bed. I said it over and over again, especially on the days where I didn't feel like I could stand, where I didn't feel like I could praise God. And I would just say, the Lord will sustain me. He has made me. He will carry me. He will sustain me and he will rescue me. In that darkness, I struggled to worship, but I could repeat that scripture to help me hold tight to the truth of God's role in my life and help me to praise God even in that pit of despair that I was stuck in. Many years removed from that season, that verse still lives in my home. This is the picture. The verse is at the bottom, and it's a bear and a baby bear. And I love this image because that baby bear looks so relaxed. He's just like sprawled out, just completely in reliance of his mother. And it was the visual reminder that I needed to help me rely on God and to praise him merely for the fact that I could. That he would hold me up when I could not do it myself. It sits in my room right in my line of vision when I'm getting ready in the morning. And now I can worship him and I can reflect on how he walked me through that season. Really, if we're being quite frank, carried me through, because it was not on my own strength that that happened. Instead, it was him and the people he so perfectly placed in my life and the never-ending comfort that they provided and he provided that helped get me through. Because even in our depths of despair, God cares. He is present and he is with you in all things. When you feel insignificant or unnoticed, he's there. Even at night, praise continues. Even in suffering, worship is possible. And even in doubt, we can raise our hands. So moving into verse 3. We come into the benediction spoken over the Jews from the Levites. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. The people have given their praise, and it's being acknowledged. It's a blessing from the Creator, the maker of heaven and earth. Your unseen work is not just noted, it's a blessing. Your quiet perseverance is not just appreciated, it's glorifying God. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean as we head into our week? We don't have to be in the spotlight for our work to matter. These quiet moments where no one can see still matter. When you're changing diapers, folding chairs, caring for aging parents, or interceding for your community, it matters. It means that even in the quiet, the hard, the despair, we can praise the Lord because he will never leave us nor forsake us. It means your faithfulness matters not only to you, but to the people around you. As you walk through your week, I want you to notice these quiet moments, these moments that may feel like darkness. I don't know what that looks like for you, but you will, and God does. And when you find yourself in these lonely, quiet moments, remember you are faithfully serving the Lord. You are glorifying his name through your actions. And you can remember that you can praise because you don't have to do any of this alone. I just want to finish with a quick story. I have a 3-year-old niece named Oakland. She is the light of my life and honestly one of the funniest people I have ever met. Something that she just started doing recently is that I just love is she has started praying or getting everyone around her to pray. And when this girl prays, she prays with everything in her. So as she's getting ready, she closes her eyes, she scrunches up her face, she squeezes her hands as tightly as she possibly can. And then after she finishes praying, with both arms up, she screams, "Amen!" It's really fun. I love this. A few weeks ago, I had Oaks, and we had to stop into the church because I had to quickly sign something. And as we were leaving, she really wanted to go play in the preschool room. She loves Parents and Tots. She loves Sunday school. And so that is one of her favorite places. And I told her, "Sorry, buddy, we don't have time today. We've got to go." And she handled it pretty well and goes, "Okay, let's just pray then." And I'm like, "Okay." Apparently, the two things we do at church are play and pray. And I was like, "What do you want to pray about?" And she's like, "Jesus." I'm like, "Okay." I said, "You go for it," because I was interested to see where this was going to end up. And so she assumes her prayer position with her scrunched up face and her folded hands, and she goes, "Jesus, thank you for being Jesus." And that simple phrase, "So my sweet girl," has stuck in my head because Jesus is worthy of our praise just because he is who he says he is. We don't have to walk alone in this darkness because he's there every step along the way with us. So today as we finish, I want to leave you with this image of a child praying with everything she has and thanking Jesus for being him just because he's him. And that no matter our circumstances, we can praise the Lord because he is good and he is with us always. How special is that? Let me pray for you as the worship team comes up. Jesus, thank you so much for this word and for the fact that you are with us always in our worst moments, in our darkest moments. You do not leave us. I thank you for all those here and all the things they do that are unseen, unspoken, and for the way that that faithfulness blesses others and glorifies you. And I just pray as we go into our week that you would help strengthen us as we do those things, that these moments we would remember to praise you and thank you because they are blessings. I just pray this in your name. Amen.